I come together with all of us today with a lot of thoughts, a lot of concerns. We certainly pray for the people in South Florida, South Carolina, anywhere around the world that's being touched by natural disasters or challenges of any kind. But I was thinking, since this is homecoming week for Bethel United Methodist Church, and that's a time to come and to celebrate, but I was thinking about Thanksgiving before Thanksgiving. Let me tell you what I mean. We got to give thanks. And in Luke chapter 17 is all about that, where Jesus is teaching about forgiveness and about faith and all of that stuff. And so I think it's very appropriate that we give thanks before Thanksgiving. We think about Thanksgiving being a holiday and a time we come together and give thanks. But, you know, we need to be giving thanks every day of our life. I found a little story in Living Life on Purpose. And it tells a story about a man whose wife had left him. Now, he was completely depressed. He had lost faith in himself and other people, faith in God, and he found no joy in living. One rainy morning, this man went to a small neighborhood restaurant for breakfast. Although several people were at the diner, no one was speaking to anyone. It was just sort of one of those quiet times in a diner early in the morning. You see our miserable friend hunched over the counter, stirring his coffee with a spoon. But in one of the small booths along the window was a young mother with a little girl. And she had just been served her food. And when the little girl broke the sad silence by shouting, "Mama, why don't we say our prayers here?" The waitress, who had just finished serving their breakfast, turned around and said, "Yes, honey, we pray here. Will you say a prayer for us?" And as she turned and looked at the rest of the people in the restaurant, she said, "Bow your heads." Surprisingly, one by one, the heads went down. The little girl then bowed her head and folded her hands and said, "God is great. God is good. We thank you for our food. Amen." Out of the mouths of babe, a simple prayer. Well, this prayer changed the entire atmosphere in the diner. People began to talk with one another, and the waitress said, "You know, we should do that every morning." All of a sudden, our friend, who was depressed, said, "My whole frame of mind started to improve from that little girl's example. I started to thank God for all that I did have and stop complaining about all the things I did not have. I started to be grateful." I think all of us can understand and even appreciate the importance of gratitude. You know, we say in the recovery programs, you got to have an attitude of gratitude, and that's certainly true. But how can an attitude change relationships? Now, I think one of the first things we were taught and that we should teach to our children is to express gratitude. Somebody gives them a little piece of candy. We tell them, "Now, what do you say?" And the child learns from the early age, the answer is certainly, "Thank you." And certainly, we all know as adults that we appreciate being thanked. I know as a pastor, that's one of the greatest blessings that I can ever receive. When somebody, "Thank you for your message this morning." You see, when it comes to giving thanks to our Heavenly Father, all of us, I think all of us miss the mark. So I've been thinking about that. Because broken relationship, that man being depressed, and he lost his family, and he lost this and that, and I think there's a lot of situations like that. But in Luke chapter 17, which is one of our lectionary readings this week, in verse 4, it says this. Now, this is Jesus speaking. And he was talking about forgiveness. And he said, even if somebody wrongs you 7 times a day, and each time they turn again and again and ask for forgiveness, the Lord says, well, you know, we need more faith, Lord. Tell us how to do that. And he said, if you forgive, you will be forgiven. Now, forgiveness is an expression of love, and a person whose life has an endless supply of life should be demonstrating an endless supply of forgiveness. I'm grateful that I've been forgiven, and I, in turn, I've been blessed to be able, in my later life especially, not to hold grudges or to be bitter and carry all that stuff, because life is too short, it's not worth it. But if we can experience unlimited love in our relationship with God, this is the resource that makes it possible to forgive others again and again and again. I think that we recognize that God forgives us time and time again. Think about that. I know I have. And then second, I think we should want to express God's love in a world that desperately needs to witness it. There's a lot of challenges going on in our world today. You know, we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith. I love that little song that we sing, and it's entitled, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Now, I'm not going to sing it, although I love to sing. And, well, maybe I can sing a little bit. But these are the words to that song. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Oh, hallelujah. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One, because He has given Jesus Christ His Son. And now we can say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what He has given to us. Wow, this is so cool. But we need to think about that. We need to have a grateful heart. And to be able to encourage one another in the faith. So, it's a joy to be able to come and think about some of the things that are going on. And I don't know. People don't want to be miserable. I know I don't want to be miserable. And, you know, we don't have to. It's a matter of choice not to be miserable. Now, you don't have to agree with everything that people do or somebody hurt you and different things like that to hold that bitterness and to say, well, I like what Bishop Henderson used to say, if you stomp my dog, I'll kick your cat. And that's not a good way to go through life. It's it's a tit for tat thing. Give it to the Lord. The scriptures say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we need to give it to it. I was listening to a little comment today on the radio from Max Licato. And the people said, well, what do you do when you got all this stuff and you gotta react. You gotta do this. No, give it to the Lord. And you can, because the most important peace you're looking for is the peace that passes all understanding within you. And if you forgive and you just say, Lord, I know that person done bad things to me and I don't like it, but I'm going to give it to you. That's what John Riley says. You heard me say it many, many, many times, but that's what he said. You know, God said you got to love one another. That's hard, but you got to do it. But you don't have to go fishing with them. You don't have to go to that restaurant with them, you know. But you can treat them with kindness and respect in some ways. Just, hey, yeah, how you doing? And don't let that bitterness continue on in your life. Turn it over to the Lord. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Well, as always, I start rambling a little bit, but you know the prayers and so forth that we need to lift up today, the people that's been affected by the hurricane. Even the ones in Puerto Rico with that other hurricane, they got touched. Hurricanes and storms of life is a reality. And it does cause a lot of damage and a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. But, you know, if we can focus on really what life is all about, that we have something much better ahead for us, then we can help people, share people, love, forgive. Just think about the teachings of Jesus, you know, and we can be thankful. Because Jesus healed the 10 lepers in the gospel, but only one returned to giving thanks, if you remember the scriptures. And Christians grow in understanding of God's grace, and we need to give thanks, because God does not demand that we thank Him. Hey, I'm going to heal you, but you got to thank me. No, He don't do that. He is pleased when we do so, though, and He uses our spirit of thankfulness to teach us more and more about His kingdom. You know, He wants well-trained saints in heaven. So this life is challenging. It's not easy, for sure. But as we go through this life and we're pruned more and more and we become the kind of person that God wants us to be, I always say that God's got a wonderful sense of humor. We figure all this thing out called life and that He calls His home. Why? Well, it says in that little book of Jude that we're going to return with Him to set up His kingdom here on earth. So He wants well-trained saints. So be patient with people and learn to grow in grace, and you'll get trained and you'll be able to be that in that number when the saints come marching in. Well, God bless you all, and keep people in prayer. Pray for them. You know, you don't have to have a whole list of things. You just need to think about them in your spirit, and we thank God for that, because Jesus taught the disciples a little prayer that they could use for a model prayer as we close this segment. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven and in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you for letting me ramble about my thoughts. And more importantly, we do pray for you. And we lift all of you up in prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.